The Business on RTE Radio 1 with AIB. Whatever stage your business is at, there's always time to imagine sustainable, positive change. AIB, for the life you're after.
Well, staying in the US this week, the world was shocked by the assassination of 31-year-old conservative influencer Charlie Kirk at a campus event in Utah in the US. The videos of the shooting remain online for everyone to see. Can social media be policed in real time, or is it an impossible task? Joining me now to discuss this is Dr. Jennifer Cassidy, lecturer in technology and diplomacy in Oxford University. You're very welcome, Jennifer. How can this kind of material, videos were circulating, very graphic videos of that killing very quickly, how can you regulate what's posted online in a week like the one we've just seen?
Well, it's an extremely important question, and it actually lies at the nexus of how big tech and how big tech should be regulating their online content. Now, the big issue here regarding what we saw in the wake of the shooting is the real-time uploads. So we have a number of regulations, particularly in the EU, the Digital Services Act, which looks at reactive measures. But what we're looking here is proactive measures. So in this case, what we really want to see to ensure that these graphic imageries and this content is not only removed but not able to be uploaded is a blend of automated AI detection tools which allow the video to be uploaded and then put against a huge database of what is graphic and harmful.
And that could happen very quickly. Is that technology there yet?
No. So this is the real problem. So the technology we have for artificial intelligence at the moment can detect a lot and can stop the upload, but we don't have it at the speed. Yes, I have no doubt that it is in the works. It's coming down the pipeline, but we are not here yet. So we don't know big tech regulation, whether we have regulation or not, but there is no facility for big tech to stop the rapid upload.
Violent material like videos of something like that is very graphic. Gets a lot of clicks.
Yes.
Social media companies ultimately benefit
yes.
from that. So in terms of their own incentives, and there is then another question that says, what about public interest and what about freedom of expression?
Exactly.
And, so forth? And how can you find a middle ground, particularly if the companies who are distributing on their platform, distributing the material, have a lot to gain from it?
Yes, and one point to note, you know, a phrase that I call, it's called the foreign policy of Silicon Valley, that if these views are in line with what a lot of the company's ethos, what we're seeing is actually a bias towards these videos remaining up, and it is in their interest because it does have the clicks, it does continue to... Once you get one graphic video, the algorithm itself actually then thinks, oh, you're interested in this type of material. So you may have, in light of the Charlie Kirk shooting, you may have accidentally seen the video, which a lot of people did. And then they went on to see all this other graphic violence, which they didn't wish to see.
And aside then from the actual videos, you have the comments that come after.
Exactly. And so that is a key issue.
Is that a complete free-for-all?
Yes. So this is a huge area of study of mine. So it's not just the videos that are uploaded. Where we're seeing huge social division, and actually it's a key issue for one of the kind of failing pillars now of democratic speech and content, is the comment sections on online platforms. So within these graphic videos, particularly what we're seeing now in the US, is within seconds, this immediate divisive opinion between extreme left and extreme right on their views on the video and on the incident. And so there's so much fighting and so much political infighting and social infighting that takes place within the comment section.
Is some of that coming from bots? It's not even generated by people.
100%. So there are huge empirical studies, vast empirical studies. I've engaged in them myself since 2016 when we had the Clinton versus Trump presidential election, where we have Russian bot farms. And that means Russian media companies are creating these huge algorithmic comments that are generated online into the comment sections of these videos. And one important point to note that many people mightn't know is that we might believe that Russian influence would be anti-American. No. The point here for Russian disinformation spreading, and they're the best in the world at it, is to sow the seeds of division. So they will put in the comment section extreme right views and extreme left views just in the hope of creating social division.
When it comes to taking down graphic violent videos as happened during the week. I mean, TikTok, for example, its policy says that it bans gory, gruesome, disturbing or extremely violent content in its that's in its shocking and graphic content policy. But it allows some carve outs for videos that it defines as in the public interest.
Yes.
So and something like the killing of Charlie Kirk is hugely in the public interest. But is the graphic video of that moment in the public interest, having that distributed?
Yeah, so from the citizen, my citizen's point of view, the graphic moment of the killing, the assassination of someone is not in the public interest. Yes, in times of political violence, in times of warfare, it is in the public interest not to have over-regulation of these videos, not to have the big tech companies with so much power and so much control over what can be regulated and what can be uploaded, because the people deserve to be able to see what is online and what is not. However, it still is in their hands to make sure that this harmful content is not also given to particularly underage people online.
So it can be a fine line, but it's a line that's crossed very often.
Yeah.
Dr. Jennifer Cassidy, lecturer in technology and diplomacy at Oxford University, thank you very much for joining us on the programme.